Being Ruth chapter 2, this is your first Wednesday night in a while, or first one here. We're going through this book just a few verses at a time. And this book is such a comparison of us as believers and our relationship with Jesus when you look at Boaz and Ruth. And so that's kind of where we are. So I would encourage you to go back and read the rest of the verses. And this is a book you don't hear much about anymore. But chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 17. Notice what it says in verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed or satisfied and left. But when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let her fall also some of the handful, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, gleaning, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. This is the welfare system in that day. They were allowed to go and get the corners of the fields and anything that was left. But a week or two ago, we looked in our study how Boaz told her to get all she could. And he told the guys that we're going to see today, he told the reapers, drop a little extra, drop a little extra, and she's going to have a whole lot of barley. So we're going to look tonight at just about communion, because we're going to see communion as we commune with Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be here. We thank you for each one that's here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for our children next door. And I pray, God, that you'll bless them and help them. We thank you for what you did Sunday, and just what a blessing it was just to be a part of such a service. And I just pray, God, that you'll bless now as we open up this precious book and learn what we can learn tonight from the book of Ruth. And just have your way. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. No doubt the hymn that C. Austin Miles wrote in the garden says this, and he talks with me and walks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Another hymn says this, there's nothing like sweet communion with Jesus. There's nothing like sweet communion with him. When we fellowship with Jesus, with his manna he feeds us, there's nothing like sweet communion with him. As we continue looking at this book, this text here, we're going to look at communion. She is growing. Ruth is growing in knowledge of Boaz, becoming more acquainted with him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Knowing Christ is what spiritual growth is all about. Yes. One thing that as I reached out to every one of the parents on Monday where their children were saved, and I'm going to say this Sunday, but I'll say it to you. Thank you for being so patient, because I take my time. I'm not going to rush it. I don't want them leaving here thinking something happened when it didn't. So I take my time. And so poor Shirley's played 78 verses of Just As I Am. But thank you. I hope Sunday we'll play 150 verses of Just As I Am. But thank you for being so patient. But one thing I stress to the parents is it's much more than what happened Sunday. We got to build on that relationship. We got to build as their children, and one of them's in middle school. We have to build on that. Well, as Christians, it's important that we draw closer to him. One word that I've tried to teach you in my almost year here that I learned from my pastor is the word relationship. Relationship. You and I have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every single day we must be in the Word. Every single day we must be in prayer. Not because we feel obligated, but because we want to. Because we have a desire to pray. Because we have a desire to read the Word of God. It should be a desire. If it's not, then there's something wrong. Let's look at communion with Jesus this evening. Y'all with me? All right, I just need a few of you with me for a little while. The first thing, the special privilege of communion. You know, through the years, I've been able to meet some preachers and some I like and some I don't. But you know what? I've seen guys, big famous preachers in town, and they get so excited about seeing this big famous preacher. I'm more excited about seeing Jesus. I don't want nobody clamoring over me. Nobody's ever come and asked me to sign their Bible, and that's okay. But I've seen preachers walk up to guys, "Hey, will you sign my Bible? Will you sign my Bible?" I would rather have sweet communion with Jesus, because first of all, it's a glorious privilege. Notice in verse 14, "And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come here. Come thou hither." We don't talk like that. I don't tell Kathy, "Come hither, my wife, let's go, Edith." We don't talk like that. So when I read, I take that out. I just take that out. So I'm probably in trouble for that somewhere down the line. But he said, "Come here." Boaz was inviting her to eat. Ruth was a gleaner in the field. This didn't happen. Boaz didn't invite people to come eat with him. And I imagine, and it doesn't matter if it's 12 years ago or today or any time, if you ever got a knock on the door from the United States government, from the President of the United States, whether it was 40 years ago or now, it doesn't matter who's in that office, we would go. Everybody in here would go. I've been to the White House years ago, and I know it's hard for y'all to understand, but I got in trouble in the White House. I was in seventh grade, went from Soddy Middle to the White House, and I walked through, and you could walk through right past the garden and all that junk, and one of my buddies said, "Ask the security guard what the score of the ball game is," because he had the little piece in his ear. Paul, I did, and I got in trouble. But I've been to the White House. I've seen it. You may have seen it. You may have been there. You know what? It's okay. But what about every single day of our lives? We can meet with Jesus. Let me tell you, Monday morning, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Monday morning, I sat right there early, and I just squalled my eyes out, thanking God for what he'd done in this place. Thanking God for the movement that he made that I didn't create. No, they come on their own. Well, Sergio, he has been praying. He has been talking to his mom and asking questions. You pray for the other two, his brother and sister, because they're right on the brink. But he was dead laser focused. His head was between Tom and Wanda. Wherever I went, he followed me. And I knew the Lord was speaking to his heart. These two young folks here on the front, I was told before church ever started they were going to get saved today. They came for that reason. Praise the Lord. And the young lady that got saved in the back worked with her dad. There's a whole story right there I won't share. But God did something special. But he's not through. He's not through. But there's nothing like sweet communion. It's a glorious privilege, but it's a gracious privilege. What did Ruth do to receive this invitation? Nothing. But yet she could eat with Boaz, the high priest, I guess you could say. We eat with him every single day. You and I have that gracious privilege. We didn't do anything to get it. We didn't do anything to receive that privilege, but yet we have that privilege. It's a gracious privilege. It's a glorious privilege. Number two, the specific purpose of communion. Communion with God is not only a privilege, it's a prerequisite. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The most healthy state for a Christian is not that of an unbroken and intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me say that again. The most healthy state for a Christian is that of an unbroken and intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. An unbroken fellowship. We need to be so close to the Lord where we know he's right there. Y'all that close? I've said before, I want to be so close to him when he turns his elbow, he hits me in the head. That's how close I want to be to Jesus Christ, my Savior. I want to be close to him. The specific purpose. We see here it's a replenishing of the depleted life. In verse 14, And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. The mealtime was around noon. I guess you could call it lunch. And they had worked in the field and they were tired. They were reaping and gleaning and it was hard. It was backbreaking work as one had constantly was bent over in the field, working, sweating. Mealtime was a time of rest. You know what? Serving God is big time work. It's busy. There's a lot to serving God. And to be a pastor, if you want to see anything happen in the church, you have to get busy. You have to be busy about the Father's business. If you want to see your relationship with the Lord get better and better and better, you got to get busy. Serving the Lord is busy work. Serving God is a matter of giving and giving and giving. But what many fail to realize is you give and you give and you give and you give. And what happens? You get burnt out. I've been there. You can ask Kathy, you can ask my kids. At our last church, I was working a full-time job, 5-6 days a week, pastoring. And I just got to the point where my body was just, it was a mess. I'd give out. My grandpa would say, I'd just give out. Not correct grammar, but that's what he'd say. I'm just give out, Kevin. I'm just give out. You know what? I've heard people say, I'm just going to go till I burn out for Jesus. No, you got to have a time where you replenish yourself. As much as I read and study and prepare, I've got to have my own. It has nothing to do with preaching or teaching. I got to have my own. I got to have my own reading. I got to have my own time where I sit and just let the Lord speak to my heart. You have to have that. You have to have that. We have to replenish that life that is depleted. Serving God is busy. Serving God is rough. Vance Hadner said this, and I want you to hear what he said. If we don't come apart, we will come apart. He also said, there is no work that is more likely to crowd out the quiet hour with God than the very work that draws strength from that quiet hour. When I get along with God, I have to take that phone and turn it off because it constantly goes off. I have to get away. I have to get to a place where it's just me and God. Tom, and I have to sit and I have to listen. I have to sit and talk. When you remember when Brother Billy was here, or evangelist back a few weeks ago, I'd forgot he did that. When he gets through praying, he would say, that's all for now. I'll talk to you again in a little while. I'm not copying what he does, but I'm copying what he does because I like that. So we're not ending our prayer. We'll just say, Lord, we'll talk to you in a little bit. That's a relationship. When you hang up with somebody, when my phone rings and it's one of our kids, there's a problem. I just know that. If Seth calls, he lives with us, his car's tore up. Or if Caleb calls, there's no telling. If Morgan calls, there's no telling. So anytime it rings, it worries me a little bit. There was one time at work, Jason, it rang. And it was Caleb, and his car was tore up. He was in college down at Kennesaw. So, oh, gee, that's going to cost me this much. 5 minutes later, she called. She did broke a tooth. That was about a $5,000 phone call. So my phone rings a lot, but it's okay. But when I have to spend time with the Lord, I put it aside. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do what Jesus did. Very early in the morning, he would go and pray. Many times you'll see he would go off and pray. Find somewhere that's quiet. Find somewhere where the TV's not on, the dog's not barking, the phone's not ringing or beeping or buzzing or whatever it does, and just you and God. Take your Bible. You and God get along. We have to replenish. Are y'all with me tonight? We have to replenish ourselves when we're serving the Lord. Receiving the divine life. In verse 14, she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn. Boaz not only invites her to eat with him, but he shares his own food with her. He gave her parched corn. This is a very special meaning. You have to look at it and understand what it means. The history of Israel can be divided in about three periods: Egypt, the wilderness, and Canaan. They were brought out of Egypt, which symbolizes a sinner being saved out of the world. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That symbolizes a carnal believer. It speaks of someone who's been saved but never goes further. And then there's the period of that we're talking about here in Egypt. Now, each of these three stages can be described. Now, I'm going to read this so I don't mess it up. Can be described three ways. In Egypt, they ate leeks, onions, and garlic. I'm glad I wasn't in Egypt. In the wilderness, they ate manna. But we read in Joshua 5, 11 through 12, after they crossed the Jordan, they ate the old corn of the land, unleavened cakes, parched corn. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. So they were eating some good stuff. Parched corn was the food of Canaan. It was the food of a victorious Christian life. Might I remind you, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. I don't ever want to hear, Daryl, that song, Egypt was once my home. That is so non-scriptural. That is not scriptural. Because first of all, Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Because in Canaan, there were wars, there were people dying. So that's not a picture of heaven. So that's just a little extra. I do not like that song. But we're talking about the life. Christian life is a life for Christ. The life that is required on the earth is a life that is received from heaven in fellowship. He gives us this parched corn, this parched corn. He gives us this parched corn. It's a show of communion. Boaz was saying, I'm accepting you, Ruth. Here, take some of my corn, but also retaining the delightful life. Notice in verse 14 again, and she did eat and was satisfied. That's what that word suffice means, satisfied. If I may say, they were tired, they were weary, but sitting down and eating, I know, I was talking to Beth over there, and poor Nick, he's on an allergy at Sequoia, and I've worked 100 of those, hated them. But you work 12 hours a day, whenever you can sit for 35 or 40 minutes, Richard, it makes you rest your feet, eat a little bit. That's what's going on right here. They're refreshing. They're retaining this. She was satisfied. Her needs were met and satisfied. Psalm 16:11 says this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We did a study in the book of Philippians. It's a book of joy. Why do Christians lose their joy? Not enough time spent with Jesus. That's why people lose their joy. When we lose our joy, we've not spent enough time with Jesus, and we're not set for battle. When we don't spend enough time with Jesus, when we don't pray, when we don't seek direction from the Word of God, then we are weak. We're going into battle. We're going into our day. Hadn't prayed, hadn't studied, nothing. First thing I have to do when I get up of a morning is I have to say, good morning, Lord. What are we going to do today? Lord, I need your help today. Before I even leave this house, I need your help. Before I leave the church, I need your help. We're talking about communion. You know what it's like to sit around a table and eat with somebody that you really like? Not what we do at Christmas, sit around people we just tolerate. I'm talking about people we like. I'm talking about sitting around with people we like. Saturday afternoon, our friends from Florida were up in town visiting his parents, and they came to the house for a couple hours. We laughed and cut up. We didn't eat a thing. That may be the first time ever. But we had a good time because we enjoy each other. We know each other. We didn't have to catch up because we know what's going on in each other's lives. I love communing with people. There's nothing better than sitting down with the Lord. Saying, Lord, it's me again. I've got something heavy on my heart. We prayed around Jason last Wednesday and Monday. He went for his injection. So far, so good. He had a talk with the Lord, I bet, during that time. You and the Lord were having a big conversation. And you know, he's our friend. So we can tell him everything. We can tell the Lord things that He already knows, but we can tell Him, Lord, I've got something heavy on my heart. Lord, I've got a need. Lord, there's something going on in our life, Lord, and we need You to move. We need You to move. Y'all with me? Communion, so important. Number three, the spiritual profit of communion. After lunch, Ruth went back to work, but things were a little different. She found her work a little different. She had worked earlier, no doubt did fairly well, but after that time with Boaz, her work in the field was greatly blessed. One of the greatest lessons that you and I can have is when we serve God, we also have to worship God. Now, let me tell you, just being honest, because this is just who I am. Y'all know me by now. This is where I kind of get so entangled. Sunday, I don't know how many Easter services I've been a part of, how many Easter sermons I've preached, but I always get nervous because there's always people here, hadn't been here in a long time, and that's just the way it is. But I always get nervous, and I critique myself, and I messed up about 9 times Sunday. Don't go back and watch the video. I messed up about 9 times. I'm sitting there just beating myself on the head. And nobody brought this up. Usually my family brings this stuff up to me. I said something to Kathy. She said, I didn't notice anything. I said, well, I did. I noticed some things that I did. But you know what? The Spirit took over. Amen. Remember, I'm just a redneck from Soddy Daisy. I can't help it. But the Spirit took over. And so while I messed up in my mind, the Lord got the work. The Lord did the work. The Lord was right here with us. The Lord was right here with us. But when you serve God, when you're working for the Lord, you also must worship Him. We cannot neglect that time. We cannot forget that time. You can serve God energetically without worship, but you cannot serve God effectively without worship. Those who are always doing something for God without taking time to be with God are busy, but they're not blessed. In this, we see an effective service. An effective service. Notice in verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded to his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Boaz said to the workers, don't do anything to hurt her. Don't do anything to hinder her. Boaz saw that she could work effectively without any hindrance. If you want our work for God, if you want your work for God to be effective, spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Get a hold of the throne of God. Spend time with Him. Somebody say, I've heard this. Something sure was hindering the service today, preacher. It might have been you. Huh? It might have been you. When you come in here Sunday, you should be praying before you ever get here. And not just Sunday's it's just another Sunday. No, it's not just another Sunday. It's another Sunday. We can come in here and Lord willing, we're going to spend all day with Peter, Sunday morning and Sunday night. But you come in here and just don't come in here and say, well, all right, preacher, it's up to you. No, it ain't up to me. It's up to all of us. Praying, getting ready for what's about to take place, to worship. If we want our work to be effective, we must spend time with God. And then we see an encouraging service. Notice in verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose and for her and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Boaz told the guys, he said, look, here's what I want you to do. As you pick, drop. As you pick, drop. As you pick, drop. And she'll go through there like some of them kids were going through with their Easter eggs Sunday. We'll see next week, she'll have a big old pile of barley. Because he was taking care of her. He was reaching out. He was telling them to let her get these things. I'm sure her heart was beating. Because remember, they came here in chapter 1 with nothing. But they came in the middle of harvest. And as she began to pick up all of this stuff, she's probably shouting. And she gleaned a whole bunch. You see, it says an ephah was of barley. That's about 10 times as much as the children of Israel gathered for manna each day, that manna that came from heaven. So instead of going home with an armful, she went home with a basket full. Instead of going home with just a little bit, she just wanted a little bit. They were hungry, but she went through with a lot. There is so much the Lord wants to do for you. There's so much the Lord wants to do for this church. There's so much the Lord wants to do for you. And we need to be encouraged and be encouraged to follow what the Lord wants us to do. Those who work in God's field along the way, He sends those handfuls of purpose. You pick up a little here and a little there. And it gets you to thinking, what a God we serve. It gets you thinking as we pick up the handfuls of purpose. And I consider Sunday, God gave us a little extra handfuls of purpose. God saved some people. God led some people here. Be encouraged in serving the Lord. I know it gets tired. It's very tiring. Serve God. Not because you feel obligated. Love God. Read. Pray. Not because you feel obligated, but because you want to. Because you have a desire to have that relationship with God. Let me ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and then we'll go into our prayer time. We have Bible study after, or prayer after Bible study. Let me ask you, as you're sitting in here this evening, say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me." Just lift up your hand, I'll pray for you. Say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me." There's a hand. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me." I'm not going to call you by name. There's another one. "I need you to pray for me." There's another one. "Preacher, pray for me. I need you to pray for me." There's another one. Anybody else? We're going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you by name. I just want you to know, each four of those that raised their hands, as I pray, your name is being given to heaven. I'm not going to call your name out here, but I'm going to call your name out. God knows what He's doing. God makes no mistakes. You may be here tonight. You may have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You say, "On a Wednesday night? Lord can save anytime, anywhere." You say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody? Be honest. Say, "Preacher, my life is not where it needs to be. I'm saved, but my life is not where it needs to be." Throw your hand up. I want to pray for you. God help you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening, and we thank you for each one that's come out tonight. I had four people raise their hands. Lord, they needed prayer. So Lord, I'm praying for those four, specifically for those four. Whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, whatever's in their life, God, I pray that you help them. Maybe their life's not in order. Maybe their life's not where it needs to be. God, help them. God, throw some little handfuls of purpose out for them to glean a little bit. Throw some blessings out to them. Help them, Lord. Show them and be with them. Help us now as we go into our time of prayer. God, might you answer these prayers according to thy will. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.